Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas.
Oh, he's here.
Todd, you got the ACMs this weekend. You going
to
go?
I'm working on it. You know, I have to try and pull a few strings to try and get there. I'm not as pretty as you guys, so when they have big-time events around here, they normally just invite me a seat filler.
We actually know people in the industry. We might be able to hook you up there, Todd.
Hey, I got no complaints. You know, I got to try and respect country music roots. Clay's still a little bit miffed that country music is my genre of choice most of the time he jumps into my ride.
At Todd Furman on Twitter, and you need to follow this guy. He knows everything about what's going to happen in games. Speaking of, we've got the Final Four obviously coming up, and I can't wait to see Wilbekin against Shabazz Napier.
See, I thought you were going to expect a full-scale breakdown of Minnesota SMU for the NIT championship tomorrow night.
Is that what's going on?
No, I wanted actually the women's Final Four.
Little Richard Pitino.
Well, when we look towards Saturday's games, guys, it's definitely going to be a real interesting slate of contests. Florida and Connecticut, no strangers to one another. They met earlier this year, although in that first meeting, Scotty Wilbekin was sidelined with an injury.
Right.
And Shabazz Napier was able to do his thing. I think when you look at UConn, this team is a little bit overvalued right now. They're the beneficiary of playing two de facto home games in Madison Square Garden. I think Florida, everywhere on the court, will have a defensive advantage. I think the Gators can win this game and do it comfortably against UConn.
You know, it's funny when you say comfortable and
well,
Gators.
I'm nervous about UConn.
The thing about Florida, watching them all year, Todd, is they're almost like an animal playing with its prey in the corner, like not quite killing it off, just kind of playing with it. It's almost like you feel like you're in the game for 35 minutes, and then Florida wins by 10, 11, 12 points.
Well, that's the one thing that's been tough for Florida to cover some of these big numbers. You look at what the price was against Dayton. They went on that 19-3 run to close the first half, built a 14-point halftime lead. Never really felt like the outcome was in jeopardy, yet weren't able to cover the closing number at 10.5. I think you're going to get an inspired effort here against UConn. So much on the line. These Florida seniors know what's at stake, and they clearly know that the SEC team that's been getting most of the national attention hasn't been them over the last couple weeks.
Well, and then UConn beat them right before earlier. Right?
But Wilbekin was hurt down the stretch. He came out. UConn.
And both of these teams, I mean, Florida's played all three of these remaining teams. They've obviously beat Kentucky three times, but their lone two losses came against UConn earlier in the season, and Wisconsin was actually the last team they lost to, I believe.
How hard do you think it would be to beat a team four times in a season?
Not exactly easy, but to be honest, guys, there's some sharp money that's come in on Wisconsin in this spot. This number opened 1.5-2. You've seen the price come down a little bit. First time in a while that Kentucky's actually going to have a target on their back. How quickly we forget they were underdogs against Wichita State, Louisville, and, you know, only a short favorite against Michigan, a game that really opened as a pick, got bet out to 3. I think Bo Ryan will have some tricks up his sleeve. Clearly the X factor will be Frank Kaminsky and what he can do in the middle. I'm not sure Wisconsin has the athletes to win this over 40, but I would definitely take a look at the Badgers in the first half.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas. You know, it's funny. Everybody talks about how Villanova was the biggest upset in the history of the NCAA tournament. They were an 8 seed. Here comes Kentucky as an 8 seed. But if they win the NCAA tournament, we're not going to think that's that big of an upset, right?
Yeah, I mean, from a seeding standpoint, we have to respect it. But, I mean, when you look at their point spreads, they haven't exactly had to go out there and really been a Cinderella team. I mean, the largest underdog they were was a 4.5, 5-point favorite to Wichita, and that was a game that opened at 3.5, and the public bet up. So hard to call a team with six AP All-Americans or six All-Americans coming in, a true Cinderella story. And not too long ago, they were a 4-1 favorite to win the national championship when future odds were released last April.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, at Todd Furman on Twitter every, what day is today? Wednesday on 104.5.
Todd, are there any prop bets now that you're in the Final Four? I know not the actual championship game of who will hit the first shot, who will hit the last shot, or anything of that nature.
You don't have a real extensive prop variety, but you do have some player props that some of the books have put out a little bit at a time. And if you want to figure out, you know, total 3-point field goals made by both teams between UConn and Florida, that number set at 12.5. You have player props available: Shabazz Napier's over under Blaine 18.5, Ryan Boatwright 11.5, and DeAndre Daniels at 12.5. Florida on the other side, Scotty Wilbekin, at least on paper, expected to lead them in offensive productivity, his total 14.5, and then Casey Prather, Patrick Young, Michael Frazier, all in that 10.5 to 12 range, depending on what you're looking for. And as you shift gears towards the other game, you know, the marquee players that need to step up for Kentucky: Julius Randle's over under on points 15.5, Harrison Brothers, Aaron 14.5, Andrew 10.5. And then you have Frank Kaminsky, the X-factor for Wisconsin, at 16.5.
Now, what are the odds?
That's good.
Yeah, Kaminsky's real good. odds of two SEC teams making it to the championship?
Well, I mean, you basically at this point, all you'd have to do is take advantage of a little two-team money line parlay with Florida and Kentucky. It wouldn't pay you back all that handsomely, but the adjusted futures price right now, Florida is a 10 to 11 favorite, meaning you'd have to put up $1.10 to make a dollar coming back if you think they're going to be cutting the nets down in Dallas. Like Brent, you said, I mean, how tough is it to beat a team four times? I guess we may find out come Monday night.
Crazy how it all works
out. Well, Ted, I got to ask you something. We just had Brian Jordan on with the Braves. What are the odds of those guys making it to the World Series before Clay jumps in here and talk about basketball?
Braves, it all depends. I mean, they're going to – so much of their success this year will hinge on the health of their pitching staff. Losing Chris Medlin and Brandon Beachy doesn't help. It looks like, by all accounts, Mike Minor and Gavin Floyd should be back in the rotation by late April. Coming into the season, their win total was set at 87.5, and the Braves, depending on where you look, anywhere from 15-1 to 20-1. But if they get pitching performances like they did from Aaron Harang today all season long, it may shorten the gap until they get some of their big boys back in the fold.
Todd,
say Harang five times.
I can't. Yeah. Todd, I am 37-21-3 betting every NCAA tournament game. Your reaction?
My reaction is one of disbelief more than anything else, but I think, Clay, your performance in the NCAA tournament is a microcosm for the SEC, which has now suddenly become a hoops conference before a football conference, and maybe your metamorphosis into a college basketball handicapper is just in time as the SEC maybe pass the baton to the ACC in college football.
Oh, well, who won that bet between you guys, by the way?
Oh, Todd set my over under 22. I mean, I crushed
Clay,
it.
Yeah, Blaine, Clay went above and beyond expectations, and I like to give him a hard time whenever I can. This performance has been nothing short of miraculous. Bigger Cinderella story than Kentucky potentially winning the national championship, Clay.
Oh, no doubt about that.
I'm curious. I know we talked some about the Final Four, but the NBA playoffs now are not very far away, and the Heat and the Pacers continue to kind of dance back and forth in the East. Spurs are on an incredible run in the West. What are futures odds looking like as we're basically at the end of the NBA season?
The Pacers stock has fallen, and I don't even know if fallen is the right word. Maybe plummeted. They've been pretty pathetic and lethargic throughout the month of March. You know, one of the lowest scoring teams in the NBA, but I actually think it offers some value now at 5-1. The Spurs, their price right now at 7-2, making them the second favorite. Earlier this year, you could have had them at 12-1. Miami, the favorite right now, a shade over 2-1. But I'm going to go one step further since I know Blaine always likes to ask the odds of teams to make the playoffs. Bovada actually put those prices out. The Knicks are a 3-1 shot to make the playoffs. The Atlanta Hawks, you'd have to put up $5 to make $1. They're 1-5. The Grizzlies 1-6. The Mavericks 1-2. And the Phoenix Suns right around a pick 'em. On top of that, guys, Andrew Wiggins to be the first overall pick in the NBA draft. He is a 1-4 heavy prohibitive favorite.
I'm betting the Knicks make the playoffs.
How
far are they out?
3-1.
Yeah, how far are they out?
I believe they're a game and a half back. The problem for them is I think they have two games left with the Miami Heat over the next eight.
What about the Preds? How are they looking for the chance of winning the
Stanley
Cup?
I don't think there are Preds odds posted. You're going to have to look towards the 2015 futures boards.
Mayor's already got those odds.
Yeah, they're going to win the Stanley Cup next year. What about the Astros? My Astros won last night. I think they should just cancel the season now.
Your Astros beat up on my Yankees, too, making CC Sabathia look like a batting practice pitcher. But Astros win total 64.5 before the year started. They were 100-1, not to win the World Series, just to win their division.
Would Derek Jeter make it through the season?
Healthy or in a body bag, Blaine? I mean, you're going to have to put a caveat on that. I don't think Jeter plays any. You know, if I'm setting an over-under on games, I'd love to see him out there for 150-plus, but I think more realistically you have to set the total at about 135.5 and put heavy juice on the under.
Yeah, I take the under. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, guys.
At Todd Furman.